ain't that the truth tonight? I'm thankful for the times I've spent in the garden with him. Thankful for the times that he's walked with me and talked with me. Thankful for the sweet spirit that passes by once in a while. It ain't all day, every day, but once in a while. Boy, I get to feel him. And I know that he's real tonight. I'm so thankful. That's really what I want to try and preach about. Last night we left, didn't know who was going to preach, and Brother Jeff said, well, we'll just both study tomorrow, and I said, that sounds good, and he texted me this afternoon, he said, are you good to go, and I said, I think so, and I found out he went and took a nap, so that's all right. I'll be honest with you, I could have, real easy. We were on vacation a few weeks ago, and we drove about 2,500 miles round trip and been back 8 days. And in the 8 days we've been back, this will be the sixth time I've tried to stay in, and I'm kind of tired. I need your prayers tonight, but I do want to try my best and trust the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you think if I stumble and fall, that'll be all right. And sometimes you do, and sometimes I have. But we had a good service at Lafayette today, and I'm thankful for that. Let me read one verse, Leviticus chapter 23, and this is going to have nothing to do, but hopefully at the very end it will tie in. Leviticus chapter number 23 and verse number 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We did have a real good service. I told him we had another happy pappy at church today. When his granddaughter joined, we've been waiting for some time. And she had called me a few years ago saying she got saved. And then she called me right back and said she wasn't sure, and she's been dealing with this for a long time, and today she did join, and I'm thankful for that. And they asked for the doors to be open, and I said we will. I felt like I needed to preach first, and I told you the other night about those buzzers that just come when Abraham offered his offering, and he had to fight off those buzzers until God came. And I'm thankful that eventually God does come and walk with you. But until that time, you've got to fight them. And so we had a wonderful service, and she joined and gave the sweetest testimony. But I promise you, we was in the car, hadn't even got out of the parking lot, and I asked my wife, you think anybody got mad because I went ahead and preached? I'm telling you, they never stop. They really never stop coming. And so we just got to keep fighting and keep fighting. But I am thankful that eventually the Lord came by just like he did with Abraham, and they walked in between those pieces of offering, and God made a covenant with him there that day. And I'm thankful for the walk of God that when he's there, they go. But until that time, you just got to fight. And so we hadn't even got out of the parking lot, and I already asked her, and we got to Highway 52, and I asked her, do you really think? And she said, do you know how hard it is to be your wife? And I said, yes. And I meant that from the depths of my heart. She don't think I did, but I do, and I'll tell you why. Because I know me, and I know how I get sometimes, and I know what it's like. And if I could get away from me, there are times I would run as far away from me as I could possibly get. So yes, honey, I do know what you might be going through. You and Sheila probably could talk like me and Jeff have a lot in common there. But I thought about just the thought. And I'll be honest, I didn't really do much studying. I tried to do a lot of thinking this afternoon on just what are you thankful for. And I thought about that conversation with her, and I thought I'd just well start there. I was a senior in high school, and it was 1995 at a basketball game, and I needed a date for prom, and God gave me a bride. You understand what I'm talking about? Sit there. I mean, you think it's just happenstance. I'm telling telling you tonight, God brings things together in ways we don't even imagine. I mean, I was sitting there, and this girl was sitting in front of me, and my knees were right in her back. She turned around to give me a what for, and from that moment on, she was mine. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm so thankful. At that time, and I don't know how you might feel about this, I'd been saved. I'd been called to preach. I wasn't a Baptist at that time. You might say, whoa, that don't line up. I've heard people say that before anybody's saved, you got to hear it from an old-fashioned missionary Baptist preacher. I got news for you, friend. I didn't, and I got saved just the same in a little Methodist church in the edge of Macon County named Saddler's Chapel, and it was in a bug tussle, but it was on the Macon County side, and my friends, I got saved, and at that time, they let you come, and nobody told me I was saved. They let me stay there till I knew that I had it, and I'm thankful for that, and I'll be honest with you. There was for a lot of years, I had a bad taste in my mouth on the Baptist, and I'll tell you why. You see, there are those brethren, and I love them. Don't misunderstand me, but they are so arrogant about this tonight. And so one time in that little Methodist place, we called service off, and we went to a missionary Baptist church in Macon County because they were in revival, and I thought they'd be glad to see us. And my friends, they treated us like the biggest bunch of sinners that you ever seen. What I'm telling you tonight, I'm not proud to be one. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be one. But it gave a bad taste in my mouth. We don't need to be arrogant about this. Not in the least way. But see, I had a bad taste. But she was a Baptist. You see how God brings everything together just like he wants it. But we started dating, and we got her talking about where you're saved and what church do you go to. And she said that, for years I'd let that hinder me. But there came a time when I went to church with her, and you know what? I wasn't a Baptist, and God made me to become one. You see, I'm so thankful tonight that he, in his infinite knowledge, I tried to preach this morning on the thought about ears being pierced. And you might think that's a strange thought, and it is. I never preached on that. But in those days when Moses came down from Sinai and he had the law of God, he said, if any of you be a servant, and he meant a slave, if any of you are a slave, he said, you're going to be one for 6 years. People were poor and things that happened in their life. It wasn't slavery like we know it today in our modern society. It was willfulness. They were poor, or if you had been caught stealing and stealing from your neighbor, you were required to pay sevenfold. And if you couldn't, you entered into a servitude. But at the end of 7 years, they were set to go free, but they had a choice. They said, you can go free. If you came in with nothing, you're going to go out with nothing. But he said, if you so desire to stay with your master, he said, we're going to bring you before the judges so that we know that nobody coerced you or pressured you into doing this, and we're going to bring you before the judges, and we're going to back you up against a doorpost, and you're going to tell everybody, I love my master, and I love my wife, and I love my children, and I will not go free. And they said, are you sure? And the man would say, I'm sure my master has been good to me, and I want to stay with him forever. And so they said, hey, if that's the case, we've got an awl, and we're going to pierce you. We're going to strike you. You're going to bear the mark forever. And so everywhere you go, they're going to know that you are staying with him. I'm telling you tonight, when Jesus said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. I told you the other night, a lot of people want a Savior, but really don't want a Lord and Master. But I believe what David wrote in Psalm 40, and I said this morning, I believe what he wrote in Psalm 40 was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe it, read what the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, because he quotes him. He was talking about the Lord. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He said, but mine ear thou hast opened. You know what that means tonight? It means an eternity past. It means I believe, I think Brother Barry said it the other night, I believe before Adam was ever formed and the earth was ever formed, I believe the Father showed his Son his bride. I really do. And so when Jesus said, you have opened my ear, I believe what he said was, Father, I'll lay aside not my deity and not my Godhead. When he walked this earth, he was just as much God as he was before. But I believe he said, I'll lay aside my glory. I'll back up to that doorpost and I'll become a servant and I'll bear the marks forever because of my bride. I believe that's what he meant. And so I'm thankful tonight for my bride. There ain't none like her. You might say there ain't none like yours, and you wouldn't be wrong, but I'm telling you there ain't none like mine. She's been good to me, and I would bear that mark forever to stay with her. And my master's been good to me, and they would back that slave up, and they would say, this is gonna hurt. Are you sure? And he would say, yes, sir, before the judges, you bear that mark. Let me tell you something, this way, sometimes it is going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. But you bear in your body the mark of your master because he's been so good to you. I thought about my bride. I thought about this book that we carry around and we act like this is not just a piece of literature. Out of all the things that your Creator wanted you to know, he contained it in 66 volumes and bound it in one book. I'm thankful today we have the Word of God. You realize men have died that you might have that in your hand today, and we kind of some cheap thing. We throw it around. I'm telling you tonight, it is the very word of God breathed on pages that mankind can read and preserve down through time. And I'm thankful for the word of God tonight. I got to thank him that I'm thankful for his church. He's not left us without a witness. I'm ashamed to venture into this part of this because you've got a brother in the Amen Corner. Brother Barry Brawner is as good a studied man on church history. And I'll be honest, I'm actually ashamed to even say what little I'm going to say. But I'm thankful. I know it's not in vogue today to be thankful to be an American. But I'm thankful I live here in the land of the free. But I got news for you. I love American history. If you love your freedom tonight, you better thank a Baptist. Yes, sir, that is who preserved especially religious freedom. People say, well, that was Roger Williams. It wasn't. It was a man by the name of John Clark. In 1637, he got his baptism over in England, and they traced that all the way back to the apostles. And my friend, you read in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, and you know what you're going to find? A great wonder in heaven. I believe it represents Mary travailing in birth, to be delivered, and then there was a great red dragon going to devour that little baby as soon as he was born. That's what the book says. But then it says when he was cast out, he realized he was cast out, and he went to make war with her seed. That is us today. The seed of that woman through Jesus Christ. It said that they were to be hid, that God would hide them for 1,260 years. He would hide them. You know what we call the dark ages. You read about the church of God. He did exactly what he said. He hid her in the Alps, up in the mountains. And after that appointed time of 1,260 years, he began to call her out. And she went into Holland and into Dutch and into Germany, into England and Wales and different places. And my friend, it says in Revelation 12, I'm going to give her great wings of an eagle, and I'm going to fly her. And that seed of the serpent, he's going to come after her. But the earth is going to help her, and I'll give her wings and I'll fly her over. I can't prove this today. From the depths of my heart, I believe this is where she landed, and he flew her straight to our shores. I got news for you today. We are in danger of losing it all. I mean, we're that close to just losing everything because we just counted this an old dusty volume and an old dusty book. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not proud. I'm not arrogant. I am thankful. I'm thankful he traced his lineage in that pamphlet he wrote, traced the lineage of this church back through Sheba's Tarns and that way at Lafayette where I try and pasture this weekend. We're going to have 175th year anniversary. Churches have come and gone, and thanks be to God, we are still standing. And I believe we're still part of his church, but we trace ours back through a man named Lewis Craig. Let me tell you about Lewis Craig. In those days, you say, preacher, what you're saying will never happen on American soil. It's already happened. They've persecuted you. And I'm thankful for the ones. That's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I'm just thankful. Just thankful. Just thankful that they imprisoned men in years gone by in this country. I've read about it in history books, and it said they would take men, cast them into jail, and men would line up outside. At that time, they were hungry for the Word of God. I'll be honest, I don't think we've got an appetite for it anymore. The brother said it while ago. It didn't used to be an uncommon thing for somebody to get stirred up and shout when the man of God preached. You don't hear it much. We've lost our appetite for everything. And so they were hungry, and they would stand outside of those jail cells, and the men of God would rear back from their windows and preach the Word of God. And the people said, we can't have that. And they would build walls. And you know what? They said, that'll stop them. And no more preaching. But it didn't stop them. You know what they did? They got them a great big pole and a handkerchief. And they tied it on that pole. And that man of God would look out the window until he saw a flag and a handkerchief come up over that wall. And that was signified, we're out here. And he preached to them through the wall. I'm thankful tonight. Lewis Craig and two other people were thrown in jail in Spotsylvania, Virginia. You know what their charge was? For preaching the Son of God. That's what their charge was. They said, these men are troubling our city. They're going about. They said, you can't even meet them in the street. What, they ain't talking to you about Jesus Christ. And they threw him right into prison. Spotsylvania, Virginia. There was a young man rode 50 miles on a horse. History knows him as the man who cried out, give me liberty or give me death. His name was Patrick Henry. They didn't know him then, but the judge knew him and the lawyers knew him, and these men were on trial, Lewis Craig being one of them. They were on trial, and they read the charge, and Patrick Henry dismounted from his horse. I guess I should have saved this for next week. I guess I'll come up with something else, or God will give me something else. But this is part of our history. And my friend Patrick Henry rode 50 miles, laid his life on the line, and he sat down in that courtroom. And about the time he sat down, they read that charge for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Patrick Henry got up and he went up to the lawyers and the judge, and he said, can I see that charge? And they handed Patrick Henry that charge, and he read it, and he said, if my ears don't fail me, this was 1767, I believe, or 68, right before the Revolutionary War. And he said, if my memory serves me right, and if my ears didn't fail me, I've heard that you have imprisoned these people for preaching, and he waved it over his head three times. It said real slow, for preaching the gospel of the Son of God. He said, at a time when liberty is about to break her fetters and men are finally going to claim their inalienable right, and you have imprisoned these for what? Preaching the gospel to Adam's fallen race. He said, great God, what are we doing? Let these men go. And the judge said, let them go. Lewis Craig went on in that little Upper Spotsylvania church, and they started being known as the traveling church. Over the course of time, God picked up that church, and they traveled across the mountains on foot. I'm talking about through the dead of winter, over the tops of mountains, over the freezing waters, carrying their babies and their Bibles, and carrying everything with them. And they come down through Tennessee and made their way all the way up to Lexington. I'm telling you today, they did that. The Indians were after them. They were fighting them with one hand and marching on with a second. When I say I'm thankful tonight for my heritage, that's what I mean. And we won't get in an air-conditioned car and drive our children 5 miles to an air-conditioned building to hear the word of God preached. We've lost our appetite. And it shows we're in danger. You can think what you want to. I believe God gave us this land for his bride, for his church. I believe we are the land in Revelation chapter number 12. I believe you're living it, brother. And I'm thankful. I got to thinking about where do you stop. I'm thankful tonight. What in the world has that got to do with what I read? There was a man in the scripture by the name of Boaz. Boaz was a good man. I'm not going to get into the story, but it's the book of Ruth. It's 4 chapters. You ought to read it sometime. And I'm not going to get into the house, but a little widow woman named Ruth, she ended up in poverty, a foreigner from a strange land, and ended up in Boaz's field. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, said, go and find a field. And she said, it just happened that my lot, well, that just happened that my lot in 1995 was to sit at a ball game in front of my bride. God brought it together. And he brought Ruth right to this field of Boaz. And my friend, she began to glean. And she began to go behind his reapers. And she began to glean. And Boaz said, who is this woman? He took notice of her. It was love at first sight. Something about her caught his eye. And he said, who is she? And they said, this is the Ruth, the woman of Moab that's came up with Naomi and don't have anything. She's been with us all day. And Boaz said, you leave her alone. He went to her and he said, listen, if you need anything, you come and find me. He said, when we break for lunch, you come and sit at my table. You sit right beside my servants. And when they get food, they're going to give you food. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to run you off. Nobody's going to say anything to you. And when you're thirsty, I have instructed them to give you some water. And she said, why? Why would you do this? I'm not like your other women. God's bride is not like the other people. We are a peculiar people. We are the apple of his eye. And those in the world had best leave his bride alone. And he told his people, he said, now remember what I read. The law was when you glean your field to leave the corners, right? Leave the corners for the poor. He said, you make sure and leave behind some handfuls on purpose for her. That when she comes behind you, she's not just picking up the scraps. I want her to have the good stuff, the real stuff. You realize tonight, church, over the course of thousands of years, handfuls of purpose have been left for you tonight. I'm thankful of those that went before us, dropped some handfuls of purpose. But now remember, why would Boaz do that? Why would he do that? Well, you really have to go into the New Testament to find out. And that boring old genealogy, I'm telling you, every page of the Word of God is God. In that boring old genealogy that can be tough to read, you find a little part in the heritage of Jesus Christ that it says Boaz, his mother was named Rahab. What does that have to do? Rahab was a harlot. She was a sinner. And she saw Moses and Joshua coming. And she said, the fear of us in Jericho, we know that you're going to devour everything. When you get here, would you spare my house? Just a harlot making a plea to God. And they came in and they laid waste to Jericho. But they gave Rahab a scarlet cord and bound that in her window. And they said, I promise you, when we come into Jericho, we're going to be looking for that scarlet cord. And when we see that, we'll take you and we'll save your life. And that's what they did. And so when Boaz was growing up, I believe Naomi had little Boaz on her knee telling her about the God that delivered her from every bit of destruction, the God that saved her soul. And the Bible says she's not only in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, she's the great, great grandmother of King David. Now, what does that have to do with corners of the field? I'm talking to you not about being thankful. I'm thankful for your pastor. I love him. I love him with all my heart. He said the other day, he always learns something when I preach. Brother, I do you too. That's the good thing about it. You can glean. And that's what we're in the field for, is just to glean. And he leaves behind some handfuls that you can pick up at Hilltop. Those that went before him has left beside some handfuls for him. Well, what does that have to do? You see, God told them, leave the corners of your field, but he never told them how much to leave. You understand that? Not one time did he ever tell them how big of a corner to leave. That was left completely up to the individual. You could leave a small one. You could leave a big one. I believe if you're thankful, you'd leave a pretty good-sized corner. Because it was showing, I'm thankful for the harvest, that God has given me plenty, and I'm going to leave some for others that they might have food in the winter season. And so, if you think about that, this would be a corner. And sadly, a lot of Christians today, that is all they leave. That's it. But I believe if we, wait a minute, you gave me a bride, you gave me a church, you saved my soul, you're taking me to a place, there ain't no more buzzards, that'll be at least out to here. At Hilltop this week, your little granddaughter got saved, brother, your corner ought to be at least to here by now. How big is it? He left that up to you. But you know what happens? We get our feelings hurt. My ear is the one that got bored through. I said, I'll serve you forever. But somehow or another, we get it in our mind that God is indebted to us. I've went to church. I've read my Bible. I've said my prayers. I've raised my family right. And yet this thing still happened to me. You know what I'm going to do about that? I'm going to stop it and I'm going to cut my corner way back. And that's how we live. Let me tell you something. God don't owe us anything. Not one thing. And he's still God. How big is your corner? I mean, when I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking about all the good things God's given me. And brother, my corner kept growing and growing and growing way out in the middle of the field. You might as well just take it all. The whole thing's a big corner. He's been good to me. And so tonight, I'm not arrogant and proud. I'm just thankful. Thankful that I'm going to a place where there are no more buzzards. I'll never ask my wife again, how did that go? Was it all right? Yes, honey, it was okay. Do you think that you don't know what it's like? I look on their faces sometimes, and chances are they're thinking about something not even having to do with me. But in my mind, everybody's mad at the preacher. They're mad when you don't preach. They're mad when you do. In my mind, it's all the same. No more buzzards. That's a great big corner, my friend. I've marveled at the children here this week. Marveled. You know what they're going to need? Some handfuls on purpose. They're going to need some corners, because you're not always going to be here. And when you're gone, they're going to need something that they can feast on when we're gone. If the church is going to continue on, and I believe she will, I don't know if it'll be here in Lafayette. My prayer is yes. But if that's going to happen, we say we don't beg for members, and we don't. But I told you the other night, while I don't beg for members, my friend, it's going to take people willing to step out and say, you nail my ear to the post, and I'll bear in my body forever that cost. People are going to have to join and be baptized. I'm not begging for members tonight, but if the church is going to continue on, our corners are going to have to be big. There's going to have to be something for these little ones to come along and pick up so they can have food, because winter is coming. Hard time. I don't like saying that. I'm not a prophet. Gracious, you don't have to be a prophet. You pick up the word of God and you begin to read. When we're living in a time, we say there's no difference. Men, women, they're all the same. They are not. And if we don't recognize that, God help us. Your children are going to face things that you never dreamed of. Would it surprise anybody tonight if the man of sin had already been born and walked among you? It sure wouldn't me. I'm telling you. They're going to need something to sustain them. They're going to need you to leave a great big corner. They're going to need that. And when they grow up, you know what they're going to say? I'm thankful. Listen, I didn't have any deciding point. God never came to me before I was born in eternity and said, who do you want to be born to? What kind of family? What kind of raising? Where at? I didn't have any of that. I'm thankful God birthed me into a family that knew him. I'm thankful that they carried me to a place where the gospel was preached, that I could get saved. I'm thankful that when I got older, God called me to preach. I'm thankful that that church that I grew up in, they believed the plan of salvation just like we do. But it was after that, and I got to studying and reading. They didn't exactly believe like I did, or I didn't believe like they did. You know what happened? God gave me a bride that led me to the true church. He had it all figured out. I'm not boastful in that, but I am thankful. I'm thankful for this church. It allowed me to come here and preach. Didn't know most of you. You didn't know me. I've grown to love you this week. I'm thankful. Just thankful tonight. I hope that I leave a big enough corner, because it's so easy when you get calloused and things begin to happen, the very first thing, you go to cutting that back. Well, God, if you ain't going to help me no more than that, I'm just going to cut you back to here. But when you really get to thinking, my gracious, I'm not going to hell. Well, that's a big corner, brother. I'm never going to burn. When you get to thinking about what the brother preached last night, about when the Lord comes back and I can look upon his face and a free pardon of sin, that's everything. That's a great big corner. How big are they? They're as big as we are thankful. That's what I'm going to say. Are you thankful tonight? Are you thankful?